Holy Spirit, we acknowledge today that you're our teacher. You're the great teacher. You're the great illuminator. And we ask you to illuminate our understanding. And we ask you to teach us today. And we thank you, Father. I pray for every person that hears this message, Lord, right now, that the Holy Spirit will open their understanding, that the Holy Spirit will open the eyes of our understanding in the name of Jesus, that we might know the things that are available to us, the things that you want us to walk in, Father. And we thank you for all of that in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Open your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm starting a series today that I think you're going to like. And, you're going to get it anyway, whether you like. But you are going to like. It's called, you like the title anyway. The title is very appealing, I think. The title is called Living the Good Life.
Amen.
Living the Good Life. Doesn't that sound good?
Yes.
You know, and that's not, you know, anybody remember that show? You know, what was the guy's name? Robin Leach. He did Lifestyles of the Rich and British accent. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Well, this is not exactly like that. It's actually better than that. It's actually better. So look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to talk about living the good life. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say it with me. Spirit, soul, and body.
Spirit, soul, and body.
Paul, this is Paul's prayer for the Thessalonian church. He says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what we are going to be doing in this series is identifying, according to God's Word, who we are and how God created us to function. A friend of mine, Eddie Everett, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he was a singer and a musician in Tulsa. And he wrote a song called Forgive Them, Father. And it said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. They don't even know who I am. That's what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And one of his friends tried to sing the song, and he got it confused, and he said, forgive me, Father, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know who I am. But there's a lot of truth to that. And that's the prayer you'll be praying a lot if you don't know who you are. You won't know what you're doing. And all you'll be doing is praying, forgive me, Father, because you'll just be making messes all the time. Amen. Well, we want to find out who we are. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if we can find God's pattern and we follow that, then we'll be victorious in every area of our lives. And so that's what we want to talk about. John chapter 10, verse 10. Look at this one with me. This is a familiar scripture. But John 10 and verse 10. This is Jesus speaking. And Jesus said this. He says, the thief. Now he identifies a lot here in this scripture. He identifies where all your problems are coming from.
Yes.
He pulls the cover off right here. He says, the thief, that's Satan, that's the devil, right?
Yeah.
The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what Satan does. That's his work. Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, in contrast, he said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So the devil, what the devil wants to do, he wants to mar and distort who we are. He wants to cause us to lose sight of the pattern that God created us in. And in so doing, when he can do that, then he can be successful in stealing, killing, and destroying in every area of our lives. But Jesus came, again, on the other hand, that we might have life. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said, I've come to start a new religion. Jesus said, I've come to give you a code of conduct. Jesus said, I've come to be your example. Well, he was that, but that's not the main reason he came. He says, I've come that they may have life.
Amen.
Jesus came to give us life.
Amen.
Jesus came to bring us life and that we might have that life more abundantly till it overflows. Hallelujah. I found out this about God. He's a God who's more than enough. He called himself, he revealed himself to Abraham as El Shaddai. As somebody said, not El Cheapo. Amen. He's the God who's more than enough. Praise God. He wants us to have abundant life in every area, in our purpose. Amen. It's good to have a purpose, isn't it? It's good to know that you're here for a purpose. Jesus' life gives us purpose. Amen. And he said, I've come that you might have life. That includes our relationships. That includes our health. That includes our finances. That includes every area of our life. Amen. But understanding who we are is critical and vital to walking in this life. And so back to what Paul said in Thessalonians here, he said, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. He gave us the makeup of man right there, spirit, soul, and body. Actually, some people say, well, you're part spirit, you're part soul, and you're part body. That's actually not accurate. It's actually accurate to look at it and see it this way and to say it this way. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Amen. Will you say that after me? I think it'll really help you to understand that. Say it after me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Let's say it one more time. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Now your soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. But you are a spirit. You are, I am, each of us is an eternal spirit being. Amen. Amen. When you were born into this earth, actually when you were conceived, God gave you a spirit. Amen. An eternal spirit. And you're going to live forever in either heaven or hell because you are an eternal spirit being. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, that's why there was such grave consequence to what they did. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, Satan became their spiritual father. Jesus looked at, in John chapter 8, we read that Jesus looked at the religious leaders of his day, and he said, you are of your father, the devil. They were very religious. But he said, you are of your father, the devil. Well, all of us at one time, we were of our father, the devil. We were created in the image of God, but then because of Adam and Eve's sin, that sin nature spread down to all mankind, to every one of us. That seed of sin came to all mankind. And so we took upon the nature of Satan. His nature entered Adam and Eve, and that sin nature passed down to every succeeding generation after that. That's the reason why we have to be born again.
Amen.
That's why we have to be born again. Look at Ephesians 2. I know this is basic, but we're building a foundation here in this series. So Ephesians 2. I don't know about you, but I like... some of my favorite food to eat is just some basic stuff, too. I'll be honest with you, I really don't care for a lot of this stuff in fancy restaurants that, you know, which I don't go there very often, but they bring you out, the portion is about that big, but it's all real fancy and it's real expensive. I just give me some meat and potatoes and green beans, and I'll be just fine. Amen. Or like we had yesterday at our family reunion, some good fried chicken. And okra and tomatoes. Hallelujah. Squash. Yes. Glory. Hallelujah. It's not lunchtime yet. Amen. Making you hungry though. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. So we're feeding you some good meat and potatoes and green beans today. Ephesians 2 verse 1, he says, and you he made alive who were dead. Jesus said, what, I've come that you might have life. Well, here Paul's talking about that. He says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. So that was our state apart from Jesus. Apart from Christ, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. We were, you know, they did there was a movie out a few years ago called Dead Men Walking. Well, here it is right here. We were dead, but we were walking. We were not zombies, though. We were not the walk, and they have now the Walking Dead, but we're not like that. But everybody without Jesus, everybody that doesn't have Christ is spiritually dead, and you're walking around spiritually dead. Now, spiritual death means separation from God. And so he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were spiritually dead. You were separated from God, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. All of us were in that same shape at one time. Conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were, notice this, and were by nature children of wrath. So what was wrong with us? Our nature was wrong. We had taken on the nature of Satan because of Adam and Eve's sin and that sin nature passing down to every generation. We were by nature children of wrath. We were under the wrath of God because of our nature. Now, our nature caused us to do wrong acts, but it was our nature that was messed up. You know, our nature needed changing. Amen? You know, you can take a pig and take it and clean it up and take it out of the pig pen and out of the mud and dirt and clean it up and, you know, put nice frilly clothes on it and turn it loose. And what's it going to do? It's going to go right back to the mud and wallow in the mud, isn't it? It's going to go back to eating slop, isn't it? Why? Because it's still a pig. It's still a pig. Then its nature hasn't been changed. Amen? So God wants to change our nature. And He did, thank God, He did. He says, we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So Paul is painting a pretty dark picture here, isn't he? But it all begins to shift with the next two words in the next verse. But God. But God. Hallelujah. Thank God for but God. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. That verse right there is enough to shout about for the rest of the week. If you'll just meditate on that the rest of the week. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His, not just His love, His great love. And not just with which He loved somebody else, with which He loved us. With which He loved you, with which He loved me. God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, said, well, I'm so sorry that y'all are in that state. I wish I could do something for you. I love you. Be blessed down there. I'll blow you a kiss. Is that how He left us? No. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even... Next verse. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Hallelujah. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. Amen. So saved. So when we're talking about being saved, that's talking about being made alive. Amen. Amen. So being saved means being made alive. When we were dead in our sins, God made us alive. Somebody said, I got saved. Well, what happened to you? You were made alive. You were made alive. Hallelujah. Even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. Hallelujah. Notice that He made us alive together with Christ. Well, when was Jesus dead? When He died on the cross for us. When He died on the cross for our sins. Hallelujah. Think about it now. So what He's tying it into. So when God put Jesus on the cross... I said, God put Jesus on the cross. Well, I thought it was the Jews. I thought it was Pilate. Well, that was the human instrument, but it was God's plan, right? It was God's plan for Jesus to go to the cross. And so when Jesus went to the cross, God took our sin, your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole human race through all eternity, all ages. God took the sin of the world and laid it on Jesus. And Jesus... when He bore that sin, that separated Him from the Father. That's why He cried out on the cross, my God, why have You forsaken Me? And that moment when He took upon Himself our sin, He was separated from the Father. There's a big controversy. Did Jesus die spiritually? Well, He had to be made alive from something. And that's talking about physical. Well, We were dead in trespasses. That's not talking about physical. That's talking about spiritual. We were made alive, how? Spiritually, together with Christ. Amen. He was separate. He didn't commit any sin, certainly not. But He took upon Himself our sin, and He was separated from the Father for 3 days and three nights. But thank God, God raised Him from the dead, and God made us alive together with Him. God was able legally then, because Jesus paid the penalty, and Jesus justified the demands of justice, of God's justice, God was able, when He raised Jesus from the dead, to raise all of us.
Amen.
He made us alive together with Christ. Amen. By grace you've been saved. Next verse. And raised us up together and made us sit together. He didn't just make us alive. He raised us up together. And He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not just some nice little, you know, sometimes when people think about, oh, sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you're just thinking about floating on a cloud and angels are flying by playing harps, you know. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about our authority. When we're made alive, we're raised up together with Jesus, and we're seated together with Him in heavenly places. Amen. Jesus said this after His resurrection. We'll get back to Ephesians in a moment. But Jesus said this in Matthew 28:18. After His resurrection, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, let's go to Matthew 28, please. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. His next words in verse 19, we won't read the rest of the verse, but His first words, go therefore. He said, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. What did He do? He delegated that authority to us. We've been raised up. We've been made alive with Him. We've been raised up with Him, and we've been made to sit together with Him. That means we've been entrusted with and given the same authority over Satan, over demons, over evil spirits that Jesus had. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what it talks about in chapter 1 before we even get into in Ephesians. In chapter 1, Paul's talking about, it says He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. Amen. Well, the all things that are under His feet, that's talking about demons and evil spirits, the forces of Satan. All those things are put under Jesus' feet, and we are the body. Jesus is the head, and we're the body. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so, if all things are under His feet, guess what? That means they're under you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. But that's another message for another day, our authority. It's not really what I'm talking about today. But let's go back to Ephesians now. We got through verse number 6 there. We're raised up and seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Let's go to verse 8 now. Verse 7 is great, but that's another message for another day too. Verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. How are we saved? By grace through faith. Let's talk about that for a second. We're saved by grace. Whose grace is it? God's grace, right? We're saved by God's grace through faith. Whose faith is it talking about? Our faith, yeah. God gave us that faith, but then it's our faith. We have to exercise it. We're not saved. Some people are confused about the issue at this time. They say, well, we're just, since we're saved, since it's all God's grace anyway, that means everybody's going to be saved no matter what they believe or what they do or if they accept Jesus or not. No, that's not true. That's a demonic deception. That's a demonic deception. Because we're saved by grace through faith. God's grace provided the salvation, but our faith receives the salvation. Without someone calling on the Lord in faith. I was reading this morning the scripture in Matthew 22. If you go through the Bible reading calendar we pass out at the first of the year, and if you don't have one, we still have them. You can just jump right in. But I was reading today Matthew 22, where Jesus was giving the parable of the wedding feast, and He talked about, you know, the people were invited and they declined the invitation. Oh, we're too busy. We don't want to come, you know. And so the master said, will I go out and invite people, God, into the highways and bring them in, invite them? And is anybody that wants to come? And it says they brought them in, good and bad came in. The good and the bad came in. And then they got in there, and the master of the feast looked up, and there's one guy that's in there, and he doesn't have on a wedding garment. And he said, friend, how'd you get in here without a wedding garment? And he said, he was speechless. I don't know. And he said, all right, get him out of here. Well, think about that. The wedding garment is provided by the master of the feast, but every individual had to put it on. Amen? And that's the way it is with our salvation. God provides our salvation. He provides that robe of righteousness, but I have to, by faith, by accepting what He did, I have to put it on.
Amen?
Amen. All right. Let's go back to Ephesians 2. He says, by grace you're saved through faith. So it's God's grace. It's our faith. He says, and we're saved. Then, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. We can't earn it, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10, here's what I wanted to get to. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Whose workmanship are you? God's workmanship. Again, let's get back to what we're talking about here. And this point, we are His workmanship. Well, when did that happen? When you got born again. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became God's workmanship. Amen. Created in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works don't save us, but good works should come from our new creation life.
Amen.
Amen. Good works should come after salvation. Good works don't save us, but there should be some good works. There should be some fruit. There should be some evidence that we're saved. Amen? The good works come after. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now I want to read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. And this is the classic edition of the Amplified Bible. Because they've made a new one, and it's like Coca-Cola Classic, you know? And they came out with new Coke, and nobody liked it, so they went back to Coke Classic, and now it's just Coke again. So, all right. And so I don't know if that's going to happen with the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. I don't know if they have the Amplified Bible Diet Edition or not, but anyway, seems like that may be the case in some churches, but not here. We don't give you the Diet Edition. Hallelujah. Amen. This is full calorie teaching today. Glory. All right. Ephesians 2:10, Amplified, look at this. It says, for we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined and planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time. God's got paths that He prepared ahead of time for us, and when we get born again, if we'll follow Him, He'll lead us right into those paths that we should walk in them. Look, here's the title of my message, came from right here now. Living the good life, which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Everybody say, living the good life.
Living the good life.
Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm living the good life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants us to live the good life. And it starts by acknowledging and recognizing what He's done in us, that He's recreated us, that He's caused us to be His workmanship. Amen. Praise God. So all of mankind, all of humanity is created by God. He's the Creator. But when we come to Jesus, our spirit that was dead, our spirit that was separated from God and had the nature of Satan, our spirit was born anew, as this verse says, and recreated. And we took on the nature of God. And so the life and nature of God is on the inside of you now. Amen. I know maybe you've heard this and know this, but it's good to be reminded of it. Amen. Sometimes we can lose sight of these things. Look at John chapter 1 with me in verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12, it says here, but as many as received him, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Who had the right to become children of God? As many as received him. So do we have to receive him? We do, don't we? But when we do, what happens? As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Well, how do I receive him? Well, the rest of the verse tells me, to those who believe in his name.
Amen.
That's how you receive him. Amen. So when I believe on his name, when I believe on Jesus, when I believe that he died for me, that he's raised from the dead, I've received him. And to those who receive him, to those he gives the right to become children of God.
Amen.
I now have the right, the authority to be, because I receive him, a right to be a child of God.
Amen.
Now, notice this now as we get into the next verse, verse 13. Notice this, you and I, we're not just adopted into God's family. Now, the Bible talks about that. We're actually children by adoption and by birth. Because look at this, when I receive Jesus, when I believe on his name, he says, then I have the right to become a child of God. He says, what kind of child is it? Who were born. Everybody say, who were born.
Born.
Amen. So that's talking about what happened in your spirit. That's what happened on the inside of you. Who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men. So he's not talking about physical. He's talking about spiritual. Who were born, not of all these, but of God. Born of God.
Amen.
Born of God. Hallelujah. If I'm, you know, my children were born of Robin and me, of our union. And therefore, they have our DNA. And they have our nature. Well, you and I spiritually have been born of God. That means we have his DNA in our spirit. That means we have his nature in our spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's look at 1 John. That was the Gospel of John we were in. Gospel of John chapter 1. Now we're in the book of 1 John. Same author, the Apostle John, wrote the Gospel of John. And he also wrote 1 John here. And he's still talking about this truth and this reality of being born of God. And so look at what he says here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is what?
Born
of God. Born of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you are born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot, that's the Father, also loves him who is begotten of him. That's Jesus and all your brothers and sisters in Christ. John also wrote in the fourth chapter of 1 John, he says, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so, but the first part is what I wanted you to see this morning. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So when we believe, we're born of God.
Amen.
What part of us is born of God? Our spirit. Our spirit. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. When I receive Jesus Christ, when I accept his sacrifice for my sin, when I believe on him and confess him as my Lord, something happens on the inside of me. My nature is changed. I'm born of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm born again. I receive the life and nature of God on the inside in my spirit. Praise God. Now look at verse 4, 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world.
Amen.
There's something to this. It's not just some nice little theological, you know, truth over here. Okay, well, this is a theological thing over here. No, there's a powerful reality. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And the person that's born of God, whatever or whoever is born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our fasting. And this is the victory. Is it right to fast? Sure it is. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. Our faith. Our believing. Amen. Who is he? Next verse. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So when I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, when I trust him as my Savior, I'm born of God, and I automatically become a world overcomer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Again, the scripture we looked at earlier, John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you might have what?
Life.
I came that you might have life. The Greek word there for life is the word Zoe. People have started naming their daughters. They say Zoe, though. But the actual pronunciation is Zoe. The E is pronounced as a long A, Zoe, and it means the life and the nature of God. The life and the nature of God. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:4, he says that we've become partakers of the divine nature. We've become partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Now go with me. Another scripture you know. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I remember Dad Hagin talking about, you know, when his testimony. You should get the two books that would be good for you to get and read again if you have it, is the book, I Went to Hell. And one time I had a guy get really upset with me. We were out doing door-to-door witnessing. And we were passing, that's one of the books we passed out when we left one at his door. He wasn't home and left the book there. And so we thought, we'll go back by and knock on the door. We knocked back and he was there and he'd seen the book. And he said, you just go back there then. I didn't get it at first. Oh, I went to hell. Okay. Sorry, sir. Just trying to share the truth with you. He talks about how, you know, as a teenage boy, he'd been baptized in water. He'd been to church. He's a member of the First Baptist Church in his town, but he never had been born again. He never had been saved, and so he was very sickly, and he had an experience where he died. His heart stopped, and his spirit left his body three times, and each time he was drawn down into the darkness. But thank God, each time as he felt like he was just ready to be pulled in past the point of no return, a voice spoke, shook that place, and he felt himself begin to be drawn back up and coming back into the light. He would come back into his body momentarily, then he would die again. And it happened three, and the third time he started calling on God. He said, God, you know, I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water. And he said, no answer. His voice just echoed in the darkness. And then he began to call on Jesus. He said, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, save me. Jesus, I believe on you. And he came back into his body, you know, and his mother was outside, you know, outside the house praying for him. She knew he was dying, and she didn't know that all this was happening. His spirit came back into his body, and he knew that he was not going to die. He knew he was saved.
Amen.
He knew he wasn't going to go to hell. And he said it's like a 2-ton weight rolled off his chest.
Hallelujah.
And he was saved. Well, a year later, he was healed. And he got up and he went around telling everybody, I'm a new creature.
Amen.
I'm a new creature.
Yes.
I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. He knew that something had happened on the inside of him. He knew his nature had been changed.
Amen.
He went around, like you said, he went around telling everybody, I'm a new creature. They said, what's that? To get his New Testament out and start preaching to them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, here it is right here. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what does it mean to be in Christ? Synonymous with being saved. Synonymous with being born again.
Amen.
When I believe on Him, when I receive Him, I am in Christ. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what?
A new creation.
A new creation. A new, the King James says a new creature. That's why Brother Hagin, you know, say, go around and say, I'm a new creature. I'm not the creature from the Black Lagoon. I'm a new creature. Hallelujah. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Where is that at? In your spirit. That's not your body. When you got born again, Brother Ralph told me he was 65 when he got born again, when he received Christ. You didn't get a new body at that time, did you? But you became a new creation.
Amen.
Old things are passed away.
Yeah.
Thank God. That sin nature, gone.
Amen.
That old man, gone. And all things become new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. On the inside, in your spirit, I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Hallelujah. When I come to Jesus, my spirit is made brand new. I become a new creation. The nature of Satan is taken out, and now I have the life and nature of God on the inside of me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I remember, I don't know if you've ever read that book, Brother Brian, you probably have read it, New Creation Realities by E.W. Kenyon. I remember getting a hold of that book years and years ago. And it's a book. He took the whole book and wrote about, okay, this is who you are, and this is what you have, and this is what you can do because you are a new creation now in Christ. And he called the book New Creation Realities. We need to order some and get that message out again. But if you don't know that you're a new creation, or if you never learn to live out of that new nature, then you're going to live defeated. And Paul addressed that. We'll finish up with this scripture. Paul addressed that in 1 Corinthians. The Corinthian church, they had a lot of problems. This is the same church he just wrote to and said, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away, all things have become new. But there was a lot of carnality and there was a lot of problems in that church. Why? Because they were allowing other things to dominate them rather than their new nature. They'd not learned to live out of their new nature. And so he's addressing some of that with them. In 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. When you got saved, you didn't receive the spirit of the world. But what did you receive? But the Spirit who is from God. Well, what good is that? What is he in there? Just as a hitchhiker? No. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now get this, really hear what he's saying here. He says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And why did he put his Spirit in us? So that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So obviously then, evidently, the Holy Spirit is a teacher and a revealer.
Amen.
The work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is to teach us what? To teach us what we have.
Amen.
And to reveal to us the things that have been freely given to us by God. Because again, if we never know those things, if we never find out those things, they won't do us any good.
Amen. That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
I bought this Wahl. Anybody have a Wahl shaver? A razor? Electric razor? W-A-H-L, Wahl? They're good. And I bought one. It wasn't expensive at all. It was a little multi-purpose thing. It's got like 20-something different attachments and things on it.
Yeah.
And so I just let the thing sit there for about 2 weeks because I didn't know what to do with it. I thought, I didn't have time. So I finally had to get the manual out and read it. Oh, it does this. And oh, you put that thing on. Oh, that's how you take that off and put this on it. You put that on it. And I won't even have to go to Great Clips anymore. I can just zip. I've not decided to start doing that yet. Of course, it's got a little attachment on it that's a shaver, and man, it shaves closer and better than any electric razor I've ever had. It's just a small thing too. It's about that wide, and so it takes a little while to get over everything, but it does a good job. And then it's a trimmer. I can trim my sideburns and trim up between haircuts and everything. And that's why I look so nice today. And But I had to find out that thing laid, like I said, it laid there for about 2 weeks and didn't do me any good until I could read up on it and find out everything it would do and how I was supposed to put the attachments on and all of that. And so we have to find out what we have. Amen. That's my point. That's my point in all this. Hallelujah. That we might know. And the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals those things. And that's why it's important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I never knew who I was in Christ or what I had. I didn't know I was a new creation. Didn't know any of that till after I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I started to realize, oh, wow, something's happened. God's done something for me. I just thought I had my ticket to heaven punched. Thank God I got the ticket to heaven punched, but hey, there's some stuff down here that we need to be walking in and living in. All right, so he says that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak. So Paul is saying, he says, I'm teaching these things by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the inspiration of the Spirit, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. He's talking about teaching under the anointing. He's not just talking about an academic or an intellectual examination of the Word of God. He's talking about I'm teaching under the anointing of God, and it's going into your spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Not which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Next verse 14, he says, but the natural man. Everybody say the natural man. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You ever run across anybody like that? And you try to share with them the things of God, and they just think you're foolish. They think you're crazy, and they don't understand it. Well, you're not crazy.
Amen.
You're not foolish.
Right.
They're the ones that are. They just don't know. You don't have to tell them that, but they're the ones that are blind. They're a natural man. What is a natural man? A natural man is someone that's not been born again. He doesn't have his spirit on the inside is dead. He's spiritually dead, separated from God. He can't live out of his spirit. All he's got is his natural self to live out of. That's the natural man. So the natural man, the person that's not born again, he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, and he cannot know them. You know, remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus when Nicodemus came to him? And Nicodemus said, Master, we know that you're a teacher sent from God, for no one can do these things except God is with him. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, except one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
What do you mean by that? Well, the word for see doesn't mean necessarily, it wasn't just talking about seeing it one day. He's talking about understanding. You ever say that when you figure out how to do it? Oh, I see how it works now. What do you mean? Are you seeing? Were your eyes shut? No, what you mean is now you understand. And so he said, Nicodemus, until you're born again, you cannot understand the kingdom of God. That's what Paul was saying here. The natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discern. Now go to chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people. So he said, when I came to you and I tried to share some of these things with you, you couldn't hear them. I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to what?
Carnal,
as to babes in Christ. Now, he says in verse 3, he says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you are still, verse 3, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not, what? Carnal and behaving like mere men. All right? And so there's three types of men that he's defined here. Number one is the spiritual man. That's who we want to be. The spiritual man. That's the person that's born again and they're living in the reality of who they are in Christ. And then the second one he identifies is the natural man. The natural man is a person who's not saved. He's not a Christian. He's not been born again. And then the third one is the carnal man that he just identified here in chapter 3. What is the carnal man? If you go to the Mexican restaurant and you order something con carne, what does that mean? With meat. With meat. Carne is any kind of meat. Pork is what? Asado? I know chicken is pollo.
Yeah.
And anyway, a carnal or carne, that means meat. that means your flesh. A person that's saved, they've been saved, they have the nature and the life of God in them, but their body ruled. They're being ruled by their flesh. They're being led by their flesh. Their spirit's been locked away. They've not tapped into who they are in Christ. They've not learned to live out of their spirit. They're just living out of their flesh. All right? And they're living just like an unsaved man. There's no difference if you put them up side by side, the natural man and the carnal man. There's really no difference in their life. Carnal man will go to heaven one day, probably pretty soon if he doesn't straighten out. But the natural man, the carnal man and the natural man, there's no difference in their lifestyle. And that's why we've not been more effective in winning the world for Jesus, because the natural people look at the carnal Christian and say, why do I need Jesus? My life is just as good as yours. Hallelujah. Well, so we want to be the spiritual man, though. Amen? And like Paul said in Hebrews, brethren, I'm convinced of better things concerning you. And I am. Amen. But look at what he says here. We'll wrap this up. He says in verse 3, he says, for you're still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Here's what I want you to see in this. Look at this. He says, you're behaving like mere men. He's inferring something here. If you think about it, hey, folks, we're not mere men. We are not mere men. The Amplified Bible says, you're behaving yourself after a human standard and like mere unchanged men. But folks, we're not mere unchanged men.
Amen.
If we've been born again, we've got the life of God on the inside of us. We've got the nature of God on the inside of us. We're a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got a new nature that we can live out of. Hallelujah. And God's got a plan for us to live out of that new nature. It's called living the good life.
Right.
Living the good life. That's how He created us to live.
Amen.
Is to live the good life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're world overcomers. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world. That's when you're living out of your new nature. Amen. We're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Provided that we live out of our spirits, and in order to do that, we have to learn to do something with the other parts of us.
Amen.
I am a spirit.
Yes.
I have a soul.
Yes.
I live in a body,
right,
but will not fully live out of our spirits until we find out what the Bible tells us we have to do with our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and our body. Wouldn't it be good if we could just set them aside? But as long as we're on this side of eternity, we've got to deal with our soul and our body. Amen? And it's a good thing that we have these things, because without a body, we can't operate in this earth. Amen? But God wants us living out of our spirit, and He wants our soul and our body to come in line with that new life and that new creation life. And when we learn to get that beginning to operate in us, that's when we step into living the good life. Amen. We'll have to talk about that next week, though. I hope you come back. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You right now. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Father, for Your great plan of redemption. Thank You for Your great plan of salvation. Thank You for Your great plan to make us new creations in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Father. And You made it so simple, Lord. You didn't make it It's not some initiation process we go through. It's not some initiation rite that we go through to become a new creation. All we'd simply do is call on the name of Jesus. All we do is make Jesus Lord of our life. And so, Father, we thank You and we praise You for that.